There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of MLB DFS Quick Hits, your Monday, July 31st edition. Hope everybody had a good weekend and is ready to kick off the stretch run as we finish up July, head into August with a nice little 8-game slate to attack. Pitching is at a premium and weather not too bad, it looks like. So let's get into it right now. Our normal check at the weather. And we got nice and kind of warm and humid in Philadelphia, but that's a day game. Don't worry about that. Royals, Orioles, warm, humid, good hitting conditions as always, or as of late in that ballpark. Same in the Bronx between the Tigers and the Yankees. Texas, as usual, great hitting environment. Other than that, not too much. Wind blown out to right field in Oakland. Looks like we're going to be nice and clear again today, which is very, very nice. Let's take a look at the totals on the slate. Royals, Orioles, 10. Wow. Thank you, Ubaldo, I guess. Tigers, Yankees, 8.5. Nationals, Marlins, 9. Then we got Indians, Red Sox, 10.5. Mariners, Rangers, 10.5. Rays, Astros, 9. Jays, White Sox, 10.5. Giants, A's, 9.5. Those totals right there, we have an 8.5, two 9s, a 10, three 10.5s, and a 9.5. If you don't understand why pitching's at a premium by now, there you have it. So let's get into that pitching. Let's break it down. We got four guys over 10K, and there's three that I'm targeting. I'm just going to say it right now. Gio Gonzalez at 11-2, as good as he's pitched. His ceiling's like 23, 24, maybe 25 points. I don't know if he's gone over 30 more than maybe once this year, so it's very rare. He's usually floating around that 25 range, only averages 20 points a game. I can't pay that price tag for him. I either pay it for the two guys above him, or I save 600 on Chucky. But let's get at Luis Severino, 11-9 at home against the Detroit Tigers. Severino has been absolutely awesome. 34.8 points his last start. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 straight starts of 22 or more. Strikeouts have been there, 6 Ks or more in those 4 starts. Severino has struck out as a K rate of 9.44 or higher, K per 9 in every month this year. And he's been extremely effective against right-handed batters. A 30.1% strikeout rate, 56.7% ground ball rate, and a low hard hit rate against righties. And you're facing the Tigers on Monday night, which is pretty much right-handed heavy, especially with Alex Avila getting traded to the Cubs. That deal should be final sometime Monday morning. At least the announcement, it seemed like it was final Sunday night. So we're just waiting for that to go through. After that, there's really nothing left-handed-wise to worry about. They might run out on Alex Presley. If Presley takes him deep, you tip your cap. This is a big, big arm on the stage in the Bronx tonight. Severino at 11-9 is definitely a really, really good play in that matchup. Down below him at 11-7, high price tag for Sonny Gray, but he's in one of the better matchups, if not the best matchup on the evening slate. Facing the Giants in Oakland at Oco Coliseum. The only upgrade for the Giants is they get a DH, but, you know, really, is that an upgrade? Because their offense is that bad. And you got Sonny Gray, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 straight starts of 20 or more DraftKings points. He has been outstanding. 2 earned runs or less in all 6. I don't know, hit 4. I don't know, those are zero earned runs. So two earned runs or less in all of those starts. 9-6, 5-5, 4-7 strikeouts in those starts. Absolutely outstanding stuff from Sonny. The only thing I'm worried about is he is at the height of the trade rumors, and the deadline is on Monday, but you'll know way in advance of the game if he's starting or not. He should, because the deadline is at 4:30 Pacific time, so right about lock time. So just keep your eye on that. Something to pay attention to when you're putting Sonny in your lineups. But he's in a great, great matchup. The Giants only strike out about 19.4% of the time, which is, you know, not ideal, but great ground ball rate. He's got a great K rate, and the Giants are just that bad. Team total 4.43, lefties 300, righties 336 off gray. But, you know, the Giants, horrific 291 wOBA and an even worse 129 ISO. First right-handed pitching, not much more to say there. Gray is in a phenomenal spot in that one. And the third guy over 10,000 is my top guy in this range, value-wise and strikeout upside alone. Charlie Morton, 10,600 at home against the Tampa Bay Rays. Yes, I say it all the time. Tampa's got that upside to go big time. But Charlie Morton, the strikeouts have been nuts. 9, 5, and 10 in his last three. He had 34.2 points at Philadelphia. 7 innings, 3 hits, no earned, 9 Ks. The ground ball, the fly ball has been better of late. When you look at his matchup, Tampa Bay's second lowest team total, only to Detroit at 419. Lefties only hitting 271. And we know when it comes to Tampa Bay, they love their lefties. They just traded for Duda. You have Lomo. You have Dickerson. Brad Miller. There's four. Go around the diamond some more. Malik Smith makes 5. So outside of that, you have like Beckham at short, Longo at third, Ramos catching, and Souza Jr. Now, there's some power there, no doubt. Righties do hit a very nice 347, and we know that the Rays have power. But what the Rays also have is extreme, extreme strikeout stuff. Striking out 24.9% of the time versus right-handed pitching. And you have Morton striking out 26.1% plus a almost 51% ground ball rate. Lots and lots to like there with Chucky. Also, if Trevor Plouffe somehow cracks the lineup, he strikes out a ton as well. But Miller striking out 27% of the time versus righties, and Lucas Duda 22.2%. Things lining up very nice for Charlie Morton, and he saved $1,300 on Severino and $1,100 on Sonny Gray. And also, if you can make it work with bats, which you kind of can, I tinkered with it last evening. You can do like a Severino Morton or a Gray Morton and still be pretty happy with your bats, and you have tremendous, tremendous talent on the mound for you in those matchups. So up top, I got Gray number one, Severino number two, or Morton number one, Severino number two, Gray number three. Let's dip below the $10,000 range. And now we have to gamble. Below 10K, there's definite upside but definite risk in these matchups. So you pick your poison. I'll point you to the ones I'm looking at and built last night. And we're kicking off with Danny Duffy. $8,900 at Baltimore. Scary hitting environment, scary team. Duffy's been pretty good since his return from the DL. 20.1. Got hit. That was at Detroit. At home against Detroit, 9.9. But then 21.8, 20.2, 16. So there's his five starts since returning. 16 or more in four of those five, 20 or more. And three of those five is at Detroit, home versus Detroit, home versus Texas, at the Dodgers, at the Mariners. In those starts, we're looking at 4-9, 4-4-4 in the strikeout department. A lot to like here. In the last 30 days, Duffy's 17th best on the barrel FIP, which is really good because remember, before he went on the DL, things were getting a little shaky with Duffy. He's getting barreled 2.36% of the time, striking out about 20%. And he's only walking 3.15% in those 30 days, which is really, really good stuff from Duffy. And why he's a decent risk versus Baltimore, we know they have power upside. You got Machado. Scope is just insane right now. Adam Jones, yada, yada, yada. They strike out 24.4% of the time versus left-handed pitching. That's big. The hard contact's been low. Swinging strike rate from Duffy's up to 11.4%. Home run to fly ball is only 5.8%. It's risky. You got a 4.85 total, but a lot of these team totals are going to be kind of inflated due to the overall totals. Another thing to like about Duffy, lefties hitting only 209. Now, that's only like Chris Davis, And they might not even run another lefty out there tonight. So that's something to keep in mind. It's not as good, but it's still solid 209. Righty's 326, which is good. But a WOBA of only 309, which is almost below average. And an ISO of 163, that's not bad. So when you look at Baltimore, it's boom or bust. They're going to go deep. Like even in Texas yesterday, 2 3-run homers was the big, you know, big heavy blows. They got a couple other little rallies going, but nothing real crazy. By no means, like none of these plays down here are safe. But Duffy does bring back great strikeout upside, and that's what we're looking for, especially on a slate with very sketchy pitching where you know there's going to be some runs scored. Even if he gets up, you look at a start, let me pull up his game log again. Four starts back at the Dodgers. He went 7 innings, 6 hits, 5 earned runs, 3 home runs, but he struck out 9, still got you 20.2 points. So on a night, like I say, when you know there's going to be runs scored, the advantage of getting those strikeouts is even higher than normal, because if a guy like Duffy at 89 can get you 20-plus points, you match him up with like one of the top three that can get you 25-plus, well, you're already way, way ahead of the game. So that's why I'm looking at Duffy at 89. Risk-reward, and the reward's higher than most on the bottom part here. Now we get riskier with Cole Hamels, 8,400 at home against the Seattle Mariners. Cole, 14.1 points his last time out, got beat up at Baltimore. And then his home start prior to that is the Angels, 30.9. He's been pretty good this year, especially at home, where his ERA is only 2.88, 17.5 points per game. But the problem with Cole, we got a couple things to worry about. Seattle has some heavy right-handed thump with like Cruz, who loves hitting changeups, and that's what Cole loves to throw. You got Segura. We got Zunino with some power from the right side. Cano can hit lefties just fine. There's more to be worried about with Seattle, but they do have it, and they have a team total of 516, fourth highest on the slate. Lefties hitting 262, righties 315, but Seattle does have a barely average WOBA of 314 and an average ISO of 140. So it's pick your poison. The scary part is it's an insanely bad hitting environment. I mentioned how Hamels, his strikeout rate is just not good either. It's a 14.4% K rate, and Seattle only strikes out 19.3% of the time. He's given up a lot of hard contact, but ground ball's better. Things have been better of late since his return from the DL about a month ago or so, but it's still a very scary environment against a team with some thump, an inconsistent team, so that's why it's a GPP option. But it's almost like I'd pay up for Duffy for the strikeout upside, or I'd go down to somebody else. But I did want to mention Cole as an option, GPP-wise especially, because nobody's really going to want to play anybody in that Texas matchup. So you'll have that upside there. Last but not least in this range, Michael Fulmer, 8,100 at the New York Yankees. Remember, if you've been listening long enough, I can't get Fulmer right. I never can. He pitched really well his last time out, 19.2 at home against Kansas City. On the road against KC, minus 5.4. At home against Toronto, 24.2. At Cleveland, 10.7. Giants, 22.4. But then as a string of 20s after that. So he's been really, really good this year, averaging 17.1 on the season. Home and away, he's better at 2.92 ERA to 3.69 road versus home. Strikeouts are about even, 18.2 points on average on the road. This is the Yankees. Let's preface that right out the gate. This is your New York Yankees. But they do strike out 22.5% of the time versus right-handed pitching. Fulmer's not a big K guy. That's one of the problems I always have with them, a 17.5%. But a 50% ground ball rate, a hard contact of only 29%, and a home run to fly ball of only 7.4% are really sneaky good. Yankees team total of 471s in the bottom half. Lefties 276, righties 279. Now, we know the Yankees have insane power against both sides of the plate, righties or lefties. But they, you know, I keep telling people they have not been blowing up like they were in the first half, especially late in the first half. In the second half, they've been quiet. They'll have their moments. There's no sugarcoating that because the lineup is that good. But as a whole, the Yankees aren't lighting the world on fire. And $8,100. So at $8,100, you're looking at... I'd say I'd rather have him over Hamels just for a little more K upside, actually quite a bit more, and a team in a different environment. Yankee Stadium is still very scary, and the Yankees team is much more scared than Seattle, so it's risk-reward. It's whichever gamble you want to make. So in this range, I'd go just because of price point of $800 cheaper, Fulmer, but I like Duffy a lot in this range. So Fulmer, Duffy, like a 1A, 1B, and then you got Hamels. Now dropping down below that, it gets extremely, extremely risky. your more GPP plays, or let's switch it this way, your quote unquote safer of the two, which is not safe by any means because he's pitching in Boston against the Red Sox, is Mike Clevinger at $7,800. Really bad start his last time out. That'll scare a lot of people away. But prior to his 5 earned runs against the Angels, there's 0 earned at the Giants, 0 earned at home against Detroit, 0 earned, or 1 earned at Detroit, 1 earned against Texas, 2 Baltimore, 1 Minnesota. Been very good. 13-2, 12-1, 27.1, 25-3, 22-5, 24-5. Those were the points in those starts. Really, really good stuff. On the road, he's actually been better than at home. 13.3 points at home with a 4.41 ERA. On the road, 19.9 with a 2.15 ERA. 41 Ks and 37 and two-thirds innings pitched. Like most young arms that we worry about, it is the walks that scare you with Clevinger. He's walking 12.2%, but he's also striking out 27.2. Hard contact, I mean, a swinging strike rate of 13.4%, which is crazy. Now the problem. Boston does not light the world on fire at the plate. Really, really bad as a whole, but they only strike out 19.3% of the time. The reason why I love this play is the K upside is there just because he strikes out a ton of guys. Plus, no one's going to use him, and you need a lower arm in this matchup. Boston just hasn't been that good. Where was the stat I had up here? Oh, Clevinger in the last 70 innings. Third lowest amount of contact at 68.8% hard contact rate, only behind Kluber and Chris Sale. Red Sox have one of the best hard contact rates in baseball. But like I said, they are struggling. In the last 30 days, they have the 29th worst WOBA of 284, 29th worst ISO of 120, and dead last in WRC plus at 69, against, which is nice, against right-handed pitching. So they've been very, very bad. And in those 30 days, a 21.5% strikeout rate, which is up compared to the like 19 total that we were talking about. So we know Clevinger, he's had a few blow-ups. He had one of his last start out. As a whole, been extremely, extremely good and very, very viable. And at $7,800 on a slate, especially with no lower-end talent, he's a very sneaky, nice option in this lower range. The other guy I'll be looking at, and no one's going to want to touch him, but he's been really, really good. He's pitching at the juggernaut known as the Houston Astros in Minute Maid Park. It's Alex Cobb of the Tampa Bay Rays, $7,300. He's been really sneaky good, 26-8, 17, 21-9, 25-5 in his last 4 starts. He had 1 start against the Astros, 6 innings, 9 hits, 4 earned, 7 Ks for 13.5. He's been much better at home than on the road. There's no sugarcoating that. This is a risky GPP play. The Astros only strike out 17.4% of Cobb. The times Cobb's only striking out 16%. Last 30 days, he's 16th worst on the barrel FIP, even though he's putting up those fantastic numbers. He's getting barreled all 6.6% of the time, striking out only 14.6. So, yes, very scary, no doubt. Houston's team total, though, it's middle of the pack at 4-1. It's 0.1, so a tenth of a point higher than Michael Fulmer against the Yankees, and most people be like, oh, I'll use Fulmer. And it's 0.04 below Danny Duffy against the Orioles. And you're saving $800 on Fulmer and $1,600 on Duffy. Lefties do hit .333, righties .304 versus Cobb. It's very, very risky. It's the Houston Astros in Houston. We'd love it if it was in Minute Maid Park. It just makes for a very intriguing GPP play down low to help you get bats if you need them. So he's on my radar, definitely on my radar, and I like him tonight. So down below, I got Clevinger, then Cobb, and those matchups. Recap your pitching. Morton up top, Severino, Gray, that's your top. Really good. All those are great options. If Gray doesn't get traded, really good option there against the Giants. In the middle, you know, Fulmer and Duffy, 1A, 1B, and then Hamels, and then down below, Clevinger, and then Cobb. So, you know, it's not great pitching. It's just more risky pitching. If these guys pitch well, you're going to be so far out of the curb. At the same time, you wouldn't be surprised if they got shocked. So, it's almost like you want to do the two high-priced guys together and take some more value bats, get that luxury there. Or you almost want to just say, screw the high-priced guys and load up on bats. Or take one high and then one of the really lows like a Cobb or a Clevinger. Different ways to approach this slate, like always. But you can't be surprised. You never can be. But really on this slate, the pitching a lot of it's very, very volatile, especially below the five-digit range. Now let's take a look at the bats. As always, Kerry Sanchez had a pretty decent weekend. I just can't pay almost $5,000. I don't care if he even goes yard. If I'm paying that kind of price tag, I'm going to a different position. He's been very good, but not happening in this matchup. You go down a little farther, though. You got, like I mentioned, lefties against Cobb. Brian McCann at 39 in that ballpark. If you're fading Cobb, has some very nice upside for you there. Toronto Blue Jays, very much in play against big game James Shields. We prefer lefties, no doubt about that. We want lefties. Russell Martin's 36 if he's there. We'll get to a different lefty in that lineup. Hopefully he's making the start. Gio Gonzalez has given up insane hard contact to righties, insane power versus right-handed bats. Other than that, he's been dodging and weaving all year long. But JT Realmuto, 3,600. He does hit righties better than lefties, but still good power at a catcher's position against Gio at 36. Mike Zunino against Cole Hamels. Zunino is not going to be a major multi-hit guy pretty much ever. Just every down a blue moon, he'll do it. But as a whole, tremendous power, especially against left-handed pitching. 3,500 for Zunino. In that ballpark could be a nice play if people are not fading Hamels. Robinson Chirinos hopefully becomes the everyday starter now that Jonathan Lucroy has been shipped to Colorado. Let's keep an eye on Chirinos. King Felix, he was better. He's been better overall of late. Still not great at all. He still gets hit hard. In this environment, the Rangers, you know, could be sneaky. They're very inconsistent themselves. But Chirinos at 3,300, power upside at catcher, you're not paying the top price, is always a beautiful thing. Rangers do have the third highest total at 5.34, lefties 3.40, righties 3.14 against King Felix. I mentioned Toronto had another lefty catcher I liked. If Russell Martin is not in the lineup, he's been kind of floating around as Miggy Montero got both starts, I believe, over the weekend. Yeah, and he's been playing quite a bit since coming over Toronto. His left-handed stick is in play. It's, you know, it's all or nothing, but $3,200 against a guy like Big Game James in that ballpark. Tremendous upside with Miguel Montero. It's also tremendous potential at a zero, so just buyer beware. When you get to Baltimore, if you aren't, where'd he go? He's not up here. Oh, yeah. If you aren't using Duffy, you got Wellington Castillo at 36. He went deep yesterday. Or Caleb Joseph at 32. Both those catchers are in play versus Duffy. They both have really, really good power versus left-handed pitching. And we already mentioned lefties 209, but righties 326 off Duffy. That's the scary part about playing Baltimore. They are inconsistent. Their overall, you know, numbers, barely average wOBA, like I said, but a pretty good ISO shows they do have a lot of power versus lefties. And the catcher's position, if he can get a lower price done like Caleb Joseph at 32, that has a very nice upside. He's been very good as he's been getting a little more playing time, averaging 8.1 his last 10. He started on Saturday, went deep for 14 points. So there's upside with Caleb Joseph. Interesting play there, never used. Go down some more, like Sandy Leon versus Clevinger at 32. If you're fading Clevinger, Leon's always a cheaper option with, you know, potential upside. We usually like him below 3K, but it's something to think about as Boston does have a 5-1-3 total, which is sixth best on the slate. But lefties 284, righties 330, so reverse splits in that matchup. If it's not Leon, Vasquez at 3K is worth a look there. You got Matt Wieters at 3K versus Urena. One thing I really like about Jose Urena, the Nats do have a low total of 4.62, which is intriguing. But lefties 3.34, righties 3.22. So Wieters always has that boomer bust, but 3K. If you don't want to pay up, that's a very nice starting point at $3,000. As you go down some more, I mentioned Wilson Ramos because you got those reverse splits with Charlie Morton at 29. If you want to go there in a good hitting environment, I can understand it. Bruce Maxwell versus Matt Cain. Matt Cain's just not good. Not good. Every once in a while he puts one together, but eventually they leave him out too long and he gets destroyed. A's have a 507 total. Yes, the Oakland A's have a 507 total. It's middle of the pack, a little above middle. Lefties are hitting 371, righties 355. Everyone's going to look up to like Toronto and Cleveland and Texas and Seattle and yada, yada, yada. All rightfully so. Great matchups. There's a lot of great matchups on the slate. We mentioned how bad the pitching is. Oakland's facing Matt Cain, and everyone says Oco Coliseum's not a hitter's yard, which is usually true. For the most part, it's true. The A's have hit really, really well there this year. They have a 318 WOBA versus righties, which is really good, and an outstanding 194 ISO, which is near the top on the slate as a whole versus their starting pitching handedness. So Oakland, you know, you're going to be able to – this is one of the teams where you're going to be able to get some value here and there to help you build a higher-priced pitching lineup. So something to keep in mind with them. But there's a lot of totals we'll get to later that will surprise you. Some big teams that aren't near the top that could be sneakier. But yeah, Maxwell at 27, he's got the power upside we're looking for. And as you go down below, much, much more bleak. You're going to see lineups to see what value comes up there. Going over to first base, Edwin Encarnacion, 5,300 at the Boston Red Sox, and Doug Fister. Cleveland has a 5.37 total, second highest on the slate. Lefties at 405 off Fister, righties only 277. By no means am I saying Edwin is not in play, but the guy I'm looking to save $500 on from the Cleveland Indians is Carlos Santana at $4,800. The Indians are facing a Doug Fister who, since 2016, pitchers that have logged 100 innings or more against left-handed bats. You got Fister, Ubaldo, and James Shields. Hey, all on this slate, surprise, surprise, with the highest WOBA versus lefties. You got Fister, 405 WOBA, and a strikeout rate of only 13.4%. Home run per night of 1.9. Shields is bad. Ubaldo's bad. That's why Santana at 4,800 over Edwin's really nice. Plus, now that he's not the everyday leadoff man, since Zimmer's been crushing it, he's averaged 11.6 his last 10 games. He put up a 0 yesterday, but then 15, 21, 14, 13, 0, 32, 9, 0, 12. There's three zeros in there, but they're 7 of 9 or more and 6 double digits. He's also in a really, really good bat at $4,800. There is definitely some upside there against Fister. Also, you got like Eric Hosmer, who I absolutely love. We usually get him at really, really nice value. Ubaldo is horrific versus lefties. Royals have the fifth highest total of 515. Lefties 393, righties 318 versus Ubaldo. A really good hitting environment in Baltimore, better than the normal Kauffman Stadium. Hosmer, 13.8 points on average his last 10, 8 points yesterday. We remember we had that monstrous 49-pointer 4 games ago. He's very much in play at 5K. And then Justin Smoke, 4,900 against Big Game James. See, I just targeted your three pitchers that get crushed by lefties, just destroyed power-wise. Smoke's 4,900, averaging 10.2 his last 10. So if you want to save out of those three, go Santana. I go Santana, Hosmer, Smoke out of those three. All really intriguing matchups, but there's more that we like here. Don't sleep on it all just yet. As we go down the list, you got guys like Yuli Gurriel at 4,400. We mentioned the Astros versus Cobb. They have a below middle of the price total of 4.81. Lefties 3.33, righties 3.04. I'm not trying to target Cobb, but it's, you never sleep on the Astros. Gurriel at 44 is in play. It's righties really, really, really well. The White Sox is a sneaky value play. 4.96 total against Estrada. Estrada lefties 287, but righties 328. The lineup as a whole is really bad, but Jose Abreu at 42 has some power upside. He'll be overlooked, but Estrada has been hit, and he's not striking guys out. He's not doing a lot of anything, really. He's been okay. He's getting decent starts, but from a fantasy viewpoint, it's not worth much. That means he's giving up contact, and we got like a hard contact rate of about 30%, home run to fly ball at 12.1%. But what we love about him is ground ball rate's only 32.1%, giving up a lot of fly balls. In that hitter's environment, you can run into one. So Abreu would be an extreme GPP play, but he's sneaky and worth keeping in mind. Now, a guy, if you're saving, and this guy fits into those saving lineups with the big-priced arms with tremendous upside, I'm talking Kendrys Morales, 4K against James Shields. Now, he's only averaging 7.6 his last 10. He's been very inconsistent on the season. That's why Smoke gets all the love, and rightfully so. But Kendrys has been batting cleanup still to this day. So you're getting the cleanup guy in the Toronto lineup against the guy that gives up so much power versus lefties for 4K. He's like $2,000 cheaper than Hosmer. Or no, $1,000, sorry. $1,000 cheaper than Hosmer, which is, on this slate could be huge. Kendricks with 4K is very good. Joey Gallo, always a GPP play at 39 versus King Felix. And then another cheap guy, I mentioned the A's, as some cheaper options for you. So yeah, your A's savings, the guy like Yonder Alonso at 3,800 bucks, big game yesterday, 26 points. He has struggled a lot, though, only averaging 5.1 his last 10. But a phenomenal matchup, like we mentioned, against Matt Cain. I'll say it again. An A's total of 507, lefties 371, righties 355. Tons of power to be liked there. Yonder Alonso at 38 could be very, very much in play and some nice value there. If you want to fade, Sonny Gray belts 36 with some upside. Adam Lind 36 versus Urena. We mentioned lefties against Urena is very, very solid. So those are some lower price guys you can look at. I have no reason to fade Severino, but if you want to get really weird, Miggy's only 35, but he's been bad. Ryan Healy, first base, third base, eligible at 34. He's been slumping, but again, Matt Cain. Last two games for Healy, 7 and 14 points. Maybe he's waking up a little. He's hitting three straight. Something to keep in mind there with Healy at 34 as a value angle. Danny Valencia, career-wise, has hit lefties extremely well. This season, not like great grade. He's still not bad as a whole. Just not playing good baseball. He's only averaging 6.6 points on the year, 3.4 his last 10. But he's also a guy that if he has a punt at 3,100, you know he's got the ability to run into one against a guy like Cole Hamels. He also has the ability to get shut down. So Danny Valencia at 31 has that upside. You got a guy like Tyler Moore, another guy like Valencia, very much like Valencia, has struggled quite a bit, but he is a nice right-handed bat with some upside against a guy like Gio Gonzalez at 2,700. He's first base outfield eligible. Maybe punt with him in the outfield, but I want to give him to you as an option there. And then Tyler White at 2K, first Ty Cobb. If he cracks the lineup, White is a right-handed bat. We mentioned the reverse splits. He hasn't gotten going here this season in his short time with the Astros, but AAA, he was killing it. So if you want a massive punt at 2K, you got Tyler White. Going over second base, Altuve at 54 is always in play. Love him. I absolutely love Jose Ramirez, second base, third base at 51 versus Fister. That's a very good play. Murphy at 5K is in play. Scope at 48. I've been using Scope righties and lefties. I don't care right now. He is just destroying the baseball. He's averaging 14.8 his last 10, 25 points yesterday. 25, 9, 16, 14, 7, 2, 15, 16, 23, 21. That's an insane 10-game run. He is crushing the baseball. I've been having him in a ton of lineups as one-offs, stacks, doesn't matter. He's been great at 48. A guy like Whit Merrifield at 42. We want lefties against Ubaldo, but he's leading off. If he can get on base, he can run for days on Ubaldo. Ubaldo's like one of the worst, if not the worst, at holding runners on in baseball. He has 17 steals on the year, 2 in his last 10 games. He's averaging 13.9 his last 10. He'll be a piece of Kansas City that most people won't take when they're stacking against Ubaldo because they're going to want the lefties like Hosmer, Moustakas, Moss, those guys, which rightfully so. But a guy like Merrifield with the steals upside, he moves into some very nice, sneaky range there. Ruby Odor double-donged yesterday, cost me some serious cash. I ended up well, but it knocked me out of the second place in a tournament. He had a big game. He's averaging 10.8 his last 10. Always power potential in that ballpark against Felix. Ruby could be a nice GPP one-off at 42. Wilmer Defoe's price is up to 4K, and he's earned it 9.6 points on average his last 10. Going up against Urena, second base shortstop eligible. Not bad at all. As you go down some more, Yoan Moncada at 36, second base, third base, some nice power upside versus Estrada in that matchup. Jed Lowry's been really, really quiet of late, but 3,600 versus Kane, another cheaper A to look at. I mentioned Cano, and at lefty's just fine. He's 3,600 versus Hamels. That's a nice value with Cano. I don't think he's really been lighting the world. 7.2 points his last 10 and 12 points yesterday. One homer in his last 10 games. So he's not like crazy, crazy, but for 3,600, that is tremendous upside. Robbie Cano, it's way too cheap. I don't care if it's Cole Hamels or not, because that hitting environment really, really ups his value there. And then as you go down some more, it's not real pretty down here. You can punt with Ryan Gomes, second base shortstop for Toronto. He's a left-handed bat. He's been batting ninth a lot lately. You know, he's not crushing it, but he's 2,800 versus a guy like Shields, who we've mentioned how lefties get into him. Goings can, you know, get a knock or two, score a run. He's batting ninth. So then when the top of the order comes up, there's a lot to like with him at 28, but you can't be surprised if the zero shows up. Yomer Sanchez, 27, versus Estrada. If he gets a start, I'd probably go to Goings. If you are fading Morton, we mentioned we don't want lefties versus Morton, but Brad Miller's 27 with that power upside. Darwin Barney, 24. He's second base, third base for Shields. He's a right-handed bat, but he's been somewhat productive, batting seventh or eighth in that lineup when he's in. Third base, Jose Ramirez got again at 51. We love that. Rendon at 49 has been on fire. Beltre at 46, just got Mr. 3,000, 31st to ever do it. He's been swinging a really, really good stick lately. Machado versus Duffy is great at 4,500 if you're not using Duffy. Very, very nice play there. Moustakas, I absolutely love at 43. That's probably, obviously I want to pay up for guys like Jose Ramirez and everything, but Moustakas at 43 is just outstanding. The power upside Moustakas brings against a guy like Ubaldo is just great. $4,300, averaging 12.2 his last 10. He's got 5 homers in his last 10 games, 14 ribbies. Lots to like with the Moose at 43. That's why I like the Royals, because a lot of people are going to see those power righties from Baltimore versus Duffy. And I don't think people are going to sleep on Kansas City per se, but you know, they'll go to Cleveland. They'll go to, you know, Boston bats. They'll go to other places where Kansas City usually always gets overlooked, especially at high price tags. So it's an interesting GPP angle. Marvin Gonzalez, 43. I know he's a lefty versus Cobb, but there's definite power there. Donaldson, right-handed versus Shields at 42. Eduardo Nunes has been really, really hot at 42. If you want to be contrarian, he's third base outfield eligible. Mentioned those reverse splits with Morton. So Longo's 41. Joey Gallo, 39 as always. Bregman, 38. Interesting play there. As you go down again, Yoan Moncada at 36, we like quite a bit. Ruben Tejada, he's third base shortstop eligible for Baltimore. Overall, isn't that good, but does hit decently against lefties. I'd like him below 3K, but he's 34. Ryan Healy, 34. If I'm going to pay 34 for either of those at third base, I'm playing for Healy and his power upside. No question about it. If you want to go down to a guy that should be chalkier than chalky, but he's earned it, he is swinging an outstanding bat. In his 5 games since his call-up, averaging 10.8. He had 16 yesterday with his second career home run. I'm talking about Rafael Devers for the Boston Red Sox. He's only $3,300, so it should be a popular, cheaper option, and rightfully so. He's earned it so far. Clevinger is a good pitcher, though. Could shut him down, but there is upside there. Matt Chapman with the A's, 2,900 versus Kane. That has some nice power upside for below 3K. Really nice power upside. As I say over and over again, when you are punting, you want the power. And that Chapman is that. It's pretty much a home run or nothing. So there you go. Going to shortstop. Lindor at 48. He's been on fire. Nice left-handed bat versus Fister towards the top of the order with your, you know, Ramirez and you know, Santana looks. I like that. Didi Gregorius at 46 has been just nuts. Absolutely love him. Marcus Semien's price tag's up to 4,300, but he's one of the better sneaky plays here. Averaging 10.5 his last 10. Really good upside versus a guy like Matt Cain. You know, Gene Segura versus Hamels at 43 is not bad at all. I mentioned Defoe at 4K. I mentioned Tejada at 34. Shortstop's pretty bad. Worse than normal to me. Crawford, 31, but I'm not really looking to fade Sonny Gray. You know, Ryan Goings at 28, I mentioned before, as a potential punt, probably where I'm going down below because it's bad. You got like Tim Anderson at 25 versus Estrada. If he's leading off, I can get a little more behind it. You want Anderson versus lefties, but down below the price range here, there's really not much you're looking at for upside-wise. At least Anderson's got more power than Goings. One guy I will look at, he's third base shortstop eligible. For the Marlins, Miguel Rojas, he's only $2,200. I know he doesn't light the world on fire. He had 3 points his last game, averaging 4 points his last 10 on the season, 5.1. But he's $2,200. He's almost as cheap as he possibly can go. He hits okay versus lefties, doesn't light the world on fire. But the thing I like the most, and this will probably jinx it for us, but he has 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 straight starts where when he started, he at least got you something. He got you 3 or more points. Now, I know it's not lighting the world on fire. Again, he doesn't have any double digits in there. But 2,200, he's not getting you a zero. He got the upside to get on and score. It's something to like at a punt where you're really, really punting. Obviously, we love power at punting. But there's really no one below 3K that I look at with power upside. So if I'm not getting the power upside, why not save even more money and just hope he gets a hit or two and gets, you know, five or more points and we move on. Going to the outfield, Bryce Harper, 56. Had a rough weekend after his hitting streak ended, but it's Bryce Harper, so always in play. I am very angry. He's earned it, though. Our guy Bradley Zimmer, who's been just on fire, we were playing in the low threes to the mid threes to the fours, he's up to $5,200. Just crazy stuff. He's really, really good. He'll probably go off, and he should go off. I can't pay that for him. I'm going to pay 52. I'm going elsewhere. But Zimmer's really, really good, leading off in a lineup that should, quote-unquote, go off tonight against Pfister. Got Judge at 51 versus Fulmer. Stanton at 5K versus Gio. I mentioned the way right-handed bats are crushing Gio. Gonzalez, Stanton at 5K. Very much in play there. A left-handed bat I like as well for the Indians. Michael Brantley is 300 cheaper than Zimmer. Brantley, 4,900. He's averaging 11.9 his last 10. He's basically averaging the same average as Zimmer. Zimmer's got the, you know, more steal upside and stuff like that, but Brantley's more in the middle of the order, more RBI upside. So I'd probably go Brantley just to save some money. Both really good plays, but that's where I'm looking there. Reddick is a nice left-handed option versus Cobb at 48. Souza Jr., 48. K with the Chris Davis will be overlooked. The A's will be overlooked because A, like I already told you, they're not as high total as others, and it's the ballpark, but it is Matt freaking Kane, people. If Kane throws a gem, literally, these are guys you'd look to target day in and day out. If you target them every game, you've made money. If he throws a gem tonight, you tip your cap. You're going to save money on these guys. Chris Davis is 4,600, has just as much upside as some of these guys above him. Lorenzo Cain, 45. Now, here is the caveat with Cain. He's right-handed. We love lefties versus Ubaldo. He's averaging 9.3 his last 10. He has 18 points last night. He's a steal machine. We mentioned how Merrifield can steal. Cain's just the same. He can steal, get in the scoring position, make it better to score runs for the big boppers. Last few games, 18, 23, 5, 17. Nice little four-stretch run. Cain at 45. Most won't pay that much for him. Especially, like I said, when you're looking at lefties versus Ubaldo, makes him very, very intriguing. As you go down some more, Brian Goodwin's up to 45. Been playing really, really well leading off for the Nats. I love Adam Jones. He let me down yesterday. If he would have done anything, he got a zero, anything. I got like 2 points, anything. The freaking Odor homers wouldn't have mattered. But Adam Jones at 44 versus Duffy, he's very, very solid. A guy like Nomar Mazara, or Senzu Choo's 44, but Nomar Mazara. When I'm looking to fade a guy like Felix, I want that power upside. Mazara was struggling quite a bit, but he's got it going. 7.9 his last 10, 18 yesterday. We're looking at 18, 2, 23, 15, 13 after that massive slump that he was in. So 4 of his last 5 in double digits. Really heating up. And with the nice hitting environment there at 44, makes for a nice GPP play. Marvin Gonzalez, 43 versus Cobb. Lefties versus Cobb, we do like. I misspoke earlier. I don't know why I was saying that. But lefties versus Cobb, very, very solid. Marcelo Zuna at 43, really nice upside versus Gio. Like that quite a bit. Nice value there at 43 with the power upside. You got Yelich versus Gio. Yelich hits lefties really well. Gio's been outstanding versus lefties, so pick your poison. But Yelich at 41 will be low-owned. We mentioned lefties versus James Shields, but Jose Bautista leading off at 4,000 is worth a look. He's been struggling of late, so don't run to that price tag, but he's there. A guy like Melky at 4K, likely making his Royals debut tonight against Ubaldo. If he's hitting towards that top, well, anywhere really, but especially towards the top of the order, Melky at 4K could be very nice. Always low owned when he's with the White Sox. We'll see how it is with Kansas City. Very good matchup for Melky tonight. He's been having a pretty darn good year. Nelly Cruz against Hamels, he crushes lefties. He crushes lefties that throw a lot of changeup. Hamels throws a ton of changeup. That's his favorite pitch. Nelson's only $3,900. That's tremendous power upside in this matchup. Tremendous. You got guys like Jackie Bradley Jr. has been better of late. 38 versus Clevinger. Rajay Davis, 38 versus Kane. Mancini, 37 versus Duffy's not bad. He's kind of been... I don't want to say struggling. 7.2 his last 10, but if you know, homer yesterday, just hasn't been as hot as he once was. A guy I like a lot tonight. He's been leading off for Houston with Springer out, but Derek Fisher's 3,700 versus Cobb. He's averaging 8.6 his last 10. So he's definitely someone to keep your eye on in that matchup. Brandon Moss, 36 versus Ubaldo. He was crushing it, 10.7 his last 10. Not double digiting it of late, but earlier in the week was really double digiting it like crazy when we were all over him. Good matchup again against Ubaldo at 36. As you go down, I mentioned Belt at 36. Benintendi's 35. Not bad with that power upside versus Clevenger, but Clevenger's been really good. But if he gets blown up, he's a good guy to have. Beltran, 35 versus Cobb. Nice left-handed bat there versus Cobb. Steve Pierce, not a lefty versus Shields, but he's only 3,400. Hit his second walk-off granny in like a week yesterday. So he doesn't do it all the time. But he's 3,400 with some upside. You got to at least give that a look if you're looking for value. A left-handed bat that'll be towards the bottom of the order usually for Toronto is Ezekiel Carrera. He went deep yesterday. He doesn't go deep a ton, but he goes deep, has a little bit of speed, averaging about 6 points a game on the year. It's all or nothing usually when Ezekiel plays. But $3,300 could be a nice little play against Shields. Nice value versus that potential blow-up. Denard Span, 33, with some upside. You know, again, not targeting Gray, but Span's been really good this year leading off. But like Matt Joyce at 33 versus Kane is just insane value to me. I know he doesn't light the world on fire, but 7 points on average his last 10. He has two homers in his last 10, 13 homers on the year. He's not like great, but the upside's tremendous against a guy like Matt Kane at $3,300. I like that a lot for value. That power upside value we always talk about, there it is right there at $3,300. Alex Gordon's 3,200 against Ubaldo. He's playing really well. Averaged 9.2 his last 10. He had 14 points yesterday, 16 points on Saturday. Done on Friday with an 8 on Thursday. So lots to like there. A lot of double digiting in of late. He runs as well. He's also another steals option against Ubaldo. So Gordon at 32, another nice upside play down below. Now when you're looking a little cheaper, like Willie Garcia got these... Or it was Lurie Garcia, but Willie Garcia is 31. We'll get to the other one here in a minute. I know he's down here. As we get below 3K, you got like here is Lurie Garcia when Melky got traded. So you have to see the lineup, obviously. When he got traded, he got put in the starting lineup. He's a switch hitter, so it could be a nice bat against Estrada. Went deep yesterday, his seventh of the year. He's averaging 5.6 points his last 10. He's an okay option at 2,700 down below, especially if he's leading off. I do like that upside. Adam Ingles, 25 for the White Sox. He's also a sneaky value. If he's leading off, if it's him or Garcia, they both have some upside down below here. And then other than that, there's really nothing else unless something comes out in the lineups down below. So there you have it. 8-game slate. Lots of intriguing options. Different ways to attack it. Again, you're pitching up top Morton, Severino, Gray. In the middle, Fulmer, Duffy, Hamels. Down below, Clevenger, Cobb. When you're looking at your stacks, highest total is the Blue Jays at 554. Lefties, 386. Righties, 367. All the bats are in plays. We really want lefties, as mentioned before. So Morales at 4K is a nice value. Other options there. You got the Indians, second highest total against Fister. Lefties, 405. Righties, 277. I love Ramirez and Lindor. And I absolutely love Santana at first base. You got Zimmer and Brantley in the outfield. Lots of lefties to attack here. Should be chalky, but very, very intriguing. Rangers versus King Felix. Lefties hitting 340s, righties 314. Antoine Mazzara at 44 is in play for me. He's on the radar. Some good right-handed power also with like Beltre and Chirinos catching. Gallo's only $3,900. First base, third base for some value, power, upside. Senzu Chu leading off's not bad. There's a lot to like with Texas tonight. Seattle versus Cole Hamels, lefties 262, righties 315, but they do have a 5-1-6 total. Great hitting environment. Hamels has pitched really, really well at home this year, but that's a tough one. It's you pick one side and you stand to it, basically. Royals versus Ubaldo, 5-1-5 total. I love it. Lefties 393, righties 318. Hosmer, Moustakas, Gordon, Moss, and then don't sleep on Merrifield and Kane. Melky's there now. Lots to like in that ballgame. Boston versus Clevenger, lefties 284, righties 330. But then Oakland, middle of the pack, 507 total. Lefties 371, righties 355. Value, value, value. It was Simeon at 43 and Davis at 46. Everyone's below 4K after that. Tons and tons to like. There. Joyce at 33, Alonzo 38, Lowry 36, Healy 34, Maxwell catching at 27. Lots to like with the A's. As like mini stacks, one-offs with power upside. Tons to like with Oakland. Do not sleep on Oakland. If they get shut down by Matt Cain, like I said, you tip your cap, you move on. It's fantasy baseball. This is a tremendous matchup to target. White Sox against Estrada. That could be GPP relevant. People are going to love the Orioles versus Duffy, especially the righty power. I get it. Totally get it. Lefties versus Cobb for Houston. But if you look at it, 2, 4, 6, 8. Astros have the 10th lowest total and Orioles 11th lowest on the slate out of 16 teams. So I guess they're in the top half if you really want. They're right about the mid. No, they're down below. 2, 4, 6, 8. No, 9 and 10. They're 9 and 10. So they're on the bottom part for the most part, or just at the middle. I'm talking gibberish now. Maybe it's time to wrap this up. But like Nationals, lefties versus Urena, something to look at there, and so on and so forth. Quick look at your BVP. See what we have in store for us today. Michael Brantley versus Fister is 11 for 30, three doubles and two homers for a 367 average. That's tasty. He was 4,900. As you keep going, like smaller samples, but Trumbo, who has struggled mightily, is 4 for 10 with a homer. Mentioned Caleb Joseph, 3 for 8 with two doubles. All small samples. All very small samples. But outside of that, you know, Scopes 4 for 12, but most guys have actually struggled versus Duffy. Chris Davis 1 for 10, Adam Jones 2 for 19, Machado 1 for 14. So, yeah, Duffy, I like the upside, especially with the strikeouts. Give up a few runs, strike out, you know, 7 or more. I'm telling you, he can get shelled, but the upside is really, really good there. Now we get to the one we really like, the Royals versus Ubaldo. Lorenzo Cain 9 for 20 with a homer. Hosmer, 11 for 30 with a double and two homers. Brandon Moss, 6 for 16 with a homer. Alex Gordon, 9 for 29 with a homer. That's 1, 2, 3. That's four guys with all homers and above 300 averages. Whit Merrifield's only 1 for 3. So, small sample. But stuff to like right there, folks. Moustakas is only 5 for 31 with two doubles and a homer. .161 average. But this year's a much different Moustakas. So, I'm taking that with a grain of salt. Marlins versus Nationals, Realmuto 5 for 13, two doubles and a triple. Miguel Rojas, small sample, but he's 3 for 7, 429 average. Points. Just points at $2,200. That's simple. Marcelo Zuna only hit 267, but he's got a homer and 15 at bats. Stuff to keep in mind there. As you go down some more, Rangers versus King Felix. Carlos Gomez has taken him deep. Nomar Mazara went 2 for 9 with a homer. Yeah, Mike Napoli's hitting really bad with two homers. Elvis Andrews 28 for 96 with four doubles for a .292 average. Overall, they struggle, but again, just like I said above with Moustakas, this is not your same King Felix. Robbie Cano versus Cole Hamels, batting .281, 9 for 32 with three home runs. All these guys are hitting like .270 or above, but you got Cano's got taken him deep three times. Valencia once, Cruz once, Seager once. Mariners can be super, super sneaky tonight. They're like in that A's category of sneakiness. I just love the A's matchup way better than the Mariners, but the Mariners have a great hitting environment. So it's a nice GPP side of things. Toronto versus James Shields, Jose Bautista 10 for 34 with five home runs. 4K price tag, struggling. Maybe people sleep on that. Definite upside. Russell Martin's taking them deep twice as well. As you go down to below, Brian McCann versus Alex Cobb, 8 for 15 with two home runs. Mention him at 3,900. Like that is a nice higher priced catcher play if you're paying up. The Rays versus Morton, you got like Lomos 4 for 9 with two doubles. Cedic 5 for 12 with a homer, but not too much there. And that'll do it. There's your BVP. There's your quick hits. Good stuff. Good to be back. Nice 8-game slate covered there. Last day of July, MLB trade deadline upon us. Check us out, thesportsdegens.com, at thesportsdegens. We got the recording of the always-pressing PGA DFS pod with myself, DFS Golf Gods, and Big Bucks No Whammies tonight. I'll be recording it tonight for the WGC event that kicks off Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Pacific. So keep an eye on that. That'll be out tomorrow. You'll have Jesse's DFS Golf Gods preview as well for the event. Always tons of stuff. NASCAR was great over the weekend with the real Josh G. UFC was great. But more importantly, let's crush this 8-game slate. Check me out on Twitter at BDintric. As always, hit me up with your questions. I'm here to help. Spread the word, rate, review, subscribe. But more importantly, let's make some money. This was your MLB DFS Quick Hits Monday, July 31st edition. I'll catch you guys tomorrow. I'm out.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.